You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Christian Mungiu has been acknowledged as a major filmmaker from his very first feature, Occident, which was premiered in the director's fortnight in Cannes in 2002. Then his second, 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days, was awarded the Golden Palm in 2007 and was on many best 10 lists in this country that year. His third, Beyond the Hills, was a selection of the New York Film Festival this year, where it received rave reviews, and it opens now for a commercial run here in New York. It gives me great pleasure to welcome writer-director Christian Mungiu to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
My listeners, many of them, will remember your last film, 4 months, 3 weeks, 2 days, which was about the difficulties of seeking an illegal abortion during the reign of Ceausescu in Romania. Although this film is also about two women and a strong male figure, is it fair to say that there's very little similarity otherwise?
I really wanted to have a different film, but I ended up having two women and a very strong man, but, you know, that's the only thing which is the same.
Now, this film was, as I understand it, inspired by a real event. Was 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days also?
Yes, but that was a private event, while this other one was public and a lot in the press.
Well, according to the credits, it's based on what's been called a nonfiction novel by Tatiana Niculescu-Brown, published in 2006. A nonfiction novel? What is that?
She used to work as a journalist for BBC during that period, and because the press wrote a lot of very strange and stupid things about this, she wanted to investigate the situation. And I think she spent some 2 years with these people, and finally she wrote a couple of books. The first one documenting these 6 weeks from their lives when it all happened in 2005, and the second one, the trial that followed.
Did you know her?
I met her in New York, actually, in 2007, when I was here with 4 months. There was a theater.
La Bama.
Yes, absolutely. It was a spectacle. It was a theater there by Andrei Sherban after her books, and I met her on that occasion, and I saw the show.
Andrei Sherban is a great theater director, and they had she had written a play based on part of the story?
Actually, she dramatized the story, in a sense, working with the actors, and she helped them a lot with this kind of talking that people have in that region in Moldova.
Well, the play was based on two nonfiction novels that she'd written. Have you drawn upon both of them for this film?
It's more like I wanted to understand what happened, because the film that I finally made is, you know, kind of fictional. It's inspired by the books in the sense that I liked a lot that she's not judgmental at all, and I wanted to have this in the books. But, for example, the second book speaks about things that happen way later on after what you see in the film. I decided that I would only make a story about these weeks.
And you said that this was a headline story in Romania, actually. It became an international story. You said that at first it seemed too sensational, too melodramatic, and too mainstream to be made into a film. What led you to change your mind?
Well, you know, first of all, reading the books, I understand that there is a possibility of speaking about this and keeping a balance. And I really wanted to speak about something important for so many people, especially back home, by having a balanced point of view, by not judging these people, but by speaking about the very intricate complex in which they reacted. Actually, you need to know a lot about how religion works over there, and about how people would relate to a situation like this, and this is what I wanted to do.
Well, I don't know how much of the story I should reveal, because it turns out to have a rather shocking ending, but I suspect you let it go when reviewers revealed what happened.
Actually, you know, the best spectators that we're having are the people that don't know much about the story when they enter the theater, but, you know, today this is rare. People want to read about it. But for me, it's fair to say that it can be watched as a love story between two girls, and, you know, one of them has discovered God, so this complicates things a lot.
Well, it starts simply enough. They meet at a train station. When one gets out, she's come back from Germany where she's been living. The other one has entered an isolated Orthodox convent in Moldova.
Moldova is a part of Romania, actually.
It's near the border with Russia, isn't it?
Yes, and on the other side there's a Republic of Moldova, which is a part of this. So.
And you said that they speak a special dialect? It's not typical. Would Romanians be able to understand what they're saying?
They understand it, but, you know, this place is the story in probably one of the poorest regions of Romania, which explains part of what happens. We speak about a place with, you know, very little education, very simple people, and very poor. So you understand a little bit why the institutions, for example, that should have been involved in the life of these girls never really worked.
You had to write the dialogue phonetically and to tell the actors what a Moldovan accent sounded like?
Well, all the actors are from that region. You can't really fake that accent. So I wanted to have them from that region, and I casted them this way. But I wrote the dialogue this way so that I remember. It's very different from, you know, the real dialogue from Bucharest, for example. And it made the screenplay a little bit more difficult to read at the beginning, but it helped them a lot when they acted.
You've said that your first screenplay turned out to be very disappointing because it stuck too close to the real events.
Yeah.
Why was that a problem? The real events are very powerful, aren't they?
Well, but this is very complex. So the first screenplay had 240 pages because I wanted to include everything. And this is like two times the time that you have for a film. You need to have 120 pages for 2 hours of film. And I really wanted all the details. Everything counted for me at the beginning. And this is why I just kept rewriting and rewriting, cutting off things until the moment when I understood what's important and what's important for the fictional story that I wanted to say.
My guest is Christian Manju, whose latest film is called Beyond the Hills. It opens this week here in New York. Where does the title come from?
Well, I thought it's about...
Is this a literal translation of the Romanian title?
Yes, in a sense. But, you know, I don't like precise titles. I think it's something about hidden things that people don't want to talk about, which is... This is what the title's about for me.
And you said that you didn't want to be judgmental. So even though the story is shocking and could be seen as something of a critique of religious thinking... All of the people involved, we understand where they all come from, and they all seem, almost all of them, seem to want to do the best thing, and it just doesn't work out all that well.
This is one of the interesting things about the story, that everybody wants to do the best, but still there's a tragedy happening up to the end. So at some point you just get back into the story thinking, so who was wrong and with what? And for me, the conclusion is that, you know, there are a lot of things which determine what happened which are not in the film, like the decision of these parents to just abandon them when they were small. And
because these girls were in an orphanage when they
And one of them had parents, so she was not an orphan. She was just placed there because her parents were too poor to raise her up. And, you know, all the institutions that should have been present in the life of these girls, they were all pretty much guilty for what happens later on.
Now, should we bear in mind that the story is set in a region of the world that has undergone a long history of misfortunes and atrocities? Romania had a long history of dictatorship, which I'm assuming made people like the nuns in your film more susceptible to being told what to do all the time by the priest.
This has nothing much to do with communism. Everybody was told what to do during communism, even, you know, in big towns, and people were not receiving a religious education. So they were rather seeing religion as a way of escaping that system. But this is happening a lot today. After having religion kind of forbidden for 50 years, people discovered it, and they were really trying to have a inner peace through religion, and it became very popular. We're speaking about a country where voluntarily 80% to 90% of people declare themselves in polls not only to be religious but to be practicants.
And this is the Orthodox Church, which is Romanian Orthodox? Or
yes, with the Orthodox, all
how
the churches
different from
are,
Greek or Russian?
Oh, it's not very different. It's only that all the Orthodox churches are national. So they are run by somebody that lives over there. And they meet from time to time, but they are kind of independent.
Didn't the Orthodox Church condemn this event and distance itself from it?
Well, they did, but the way they did was not very convincing, which is to say that some 24 hours after this became news, they kind of like expelled this priest and all the nuns from this convent, but without trialing them, without trying to understand what happened. So this was also an inappropriate way of reacting, you know. Normally they should have been trialed in a sense by the church, but this was very unfortunate for the church, and they never wanted to have this on them.
But there was a civil trial, wasn't there?
There was a civil trial.
Did the priest go to prison?
All of them got to prison, and they were released finally. I think last year it was the prison that did some 5 years who was released, the last of them.
You said that when you were preparing the film, you read a list of sins compiled by the Orthodox Church, and there were 464? You give us about 20 in the movie.
Yes, you know, the movie can't really have it all, but what was interesting is...
It would have been a seven-hour movie.
Anyway, I shot some 35 scenes when I was shooting that film, but I decided to cut after some 20. But what's interesting is that they were trying to make a complete list, and they updated from time to time.
None of the cast appeared in your previous films. The priest is played by a man whose name I probably am going to really murder here, Valeriu Andriutan.
It's Andriuță, but that's, you're pretty close.
He had acted in your films when you were in film school, but hadn't he moved to Ireland and given up acting?
Yes, he did.
So what was his response when you asked him to take this role and to grow a long beard?
Well, first of all, he was a bit surprised. We you know, lost track of each other for a while. And later on, he was really waiting to see if I'm going to make the film or not, because I was changing my mind very, very often when I was writing. But because his beard was growing and growing and growing, he was the only one that, you know, in the casting, just read with him, and he knew he's going to be playing the part.
Well, both of the female leads are fabulous, mm-hmm. and these are not actors who've done an awful lot in film.
You know, at this
age, they're not amateurs?
No, not at all. They are professionals. They graduated acting schools, and they are theater actors. But it's difficult at the age of 25 to be very experienced in film in a country that only makes, I don't know, some 10 films a year. And for me, it's not so important. For me, it's important to discover people that have the right energy for the part that I'm giving to them.
Just one more thing. You said that you expect the film to be seen, judged, and understood very differently abroad than in Romania. In what way?
Well, you know, people don't have much information about what happens there, but hopefully they won't see this as just a very special event happening in a remote country. There are important universal things that the film wants to speak about, and hopefully they will travel up to, you know, spectators here, like how relative good and evil can be today and what people are asked to do in the name of love.
Has the Orthodox Church responded to the film?
Yes, we had a couple of early screenings, and they were, against the film. They didn't like at all what they were seeing, but I keep saying that, you know, the film is like a mirror. You see in it whatever you believe.
Well, most of the people from the church in the film are good-hearted people who want to do the best.
I don't think you could have had a more balanced view than I had, so hopefully these first reactions that they had are, you know, like reactions of individuals and not the official point of view of the church.
Christian Manju's film, Beyond the Hills, was a hit when it was at the New York Film Festival, and it's opening this week here in New York. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.